Your mind is either your greatest asset or your biggest limitation. If you want to live the life you truly deserve, you must first learn to master the way you think. Everything you do, every decision you make, and every goal you achieve starts in your mind. The problem is, most people let their mindset run on autopilot. They allow fear, doubt, and other people's opinions to shape their reality. And then they wonder why their life doesn't change. Master your mindset. How to get what you truly deserve is about taking that control back. It's about training your mind to work for you, not against you. It's about replacing weak thoughts with strong ones, building habits that match your ambitions, and creating the discipline to follow through every day. If you're tired of settling for less than you're capable of, it's time to reset your mindset. Because the truth is simple, you will never rise above the limits you place on your own mind. Chapter 1. Be clear on what you want before you start. You know, if you want to live a life you truly deserve, it doesn't begin with luck. It doesn't begin with some miracle opportunity, and it certainly doesn't begin with someone else handing it to you. It begins with you getting absolutely clear about what you want. Most people never get what they truly deserve because they spend their lives walking in a fog, moving without direction, doing things because they saw someone else doing it, or because they thought it might work out somehow. But the truth is, without clear direction, your mind doesn't know where to focus, your actions don't know where to aim, and your days are filled with activity instead of progress. You can't afford to be vague about your life. If you say you want success, what does that mean? Is it building your own business? Is it having financial freedom so you can take care of your family? Is it working a job you actually enjoy? Is it becoming healthier and stronger than you've ever been? Saying, "I want success," without defining it, is like telling someone you're going somewhere but not knowing which country you're going to. Your mind needs a target. Without that target, you will wander. And the tragedy is, you can spend years wandering and still feel like you've been moving. Clarity is powerful because it gives you permission to cut away the things that don't fit. When you are clear, you can look at a decision and say, "No, this doesn't take me toward my goal," or, "Yes, this is exactly what I need to do." You start operating with precision. Without clarity, you'll keep saying yes to too many things. You'll find yourself helping other people chase their goals while yours remain untouched. Getting clear is not just writing down a dream. It's about taking an honest look at yourself and asking, "What do I really want? What do I want so badly that I'm willing to work for it, sacrifice for it, and not give up on it when things get hard?" That's the kind of clarity that changes your life. When you know what you want, you start to think differently. You begin to organize your life around it. You start looking at your time differently. You start valuing your mornings. You start being careful with your evenings. You pay attention to the people you give your attention to, because if you want to get what you truly deserve, you have to guard your time and your energy like they are your greatest resources. Because they are. Here's what happens when you aren't clear. You get pulled in every direction. One day you're following this idea, the next day something new looks exciting, you jump from one thing to another, and years later you realize you're still in the same place. You've worked hard, but you haven't moved forward. The truth is, hard work only pays off when it's connected to a clear direction. The first step to mastering your mindset is deciding exactly where you're going. That means you have to sit down, away from distractions, and think. Not for 5 minutes, but until you know. Ask yourself, "If I could design my life exactly how I want it, what would it look like? Where would I live? How would I spend my days? Who would I spend my time with? What kind of work would I do? What would my health look like? What kind of income would I have? How would I feel waking up each morning? Answer those questions in detail. Don't just say, I want to be happy. That's too vague. What does happiness mean to you? Once you answer these questions, you'll notice something. You'll feel a surge of energy. That's because the mind loves clarity. When you give your mind a clear target, it starts working for you. You'll begin to notice opportunities you never saw before. You'll connect dots you never connected before. Things that seemed random will now seem connected to your goal. But here's where most people make a mistake. They stop at clarity. They think, I know what I want now, and they expect life to just hand it to them. Clarity is only the beginning. It's the starting point. Once you know, you must commit to it. You must decide that you are not just interested in this goal, but you are committed to it. The difference between interest and commitment is huge. When you're interested, you work on it when it's convenient. When you're committed, you work on it even when it's inconvenient. You work on it even when you're tired. You work on it even when you don't feel like it. That's the kind of commitment clarity demands. The second part of being clear is understanding why you want it. If you want to earn more money, why? If you want a healthier body, why? If you want to grow your business, why? If your why is strong enough, you will find the energy to keep going when the road gets hard. People who quit usually don't quit because they don't have the ability. They quit because they never had a strong enough reason to keep going. Think about this. There are people with fewer resources, fewer connections, and more challenges than you who are still achieving their dreams. Why? Because they know exactly what they want and why they want it. That's the fuel that keeps them going. They don't waste time guessing. They don't change their direction every few weeks. They stay locked in on their target. When you are clear on what you want, you begin to attract the right opportunities. You also start to repel the wrong ones. That's not magic. It's focus. Your brain starts to filter everything through the lens of your goal. Suddenly, things that used to tempt you no longer do, because they don't fit your plan. You stop wasting money on things that don't serve your dream. You stop saying yes to events or activities that take you away from your goal. You stop spending hours scrolling through other people's lives and start building your own. Here's another thing. Clarity changes how you handle challenges. Without clarity, a problem can knock you off track for weeks. With clarity, you deal with it and keep moving. You see, when you know what you want, setbacks become temporary delays, not permanent detours. You learn to adapt instead of quit. Some people never take the time to decide what they want because they're afraid. Afraid they might fail, afraid they might choose the wrong thing, afraid other people might not approve. But here's the truth. The bigger failure is never choosing at all. When you don't choose, life will choose for you. And you may not like what it picks. So take the time today to decide. Get specific. Write it down. Speak it out loud. Commit to it. And start moving toward it. Even if you don't know every step right now, you'll figure it out along the way. What matters most is that you're moving in a direction that matters to you. Be ruthless with distractions. Protect your clarity. And remember, nobody else can tell you what you truly want. You have to decide that for yourself. When you do, something incredible happens. Your life starts to line up with your intentions. You stop drifting. You start creating. You stop settling. You start building. And one day, you'll wake up and realize you've built the life you once only thought about. That's when you know you're getting what you truly deserve. Chapter 2. Train your brain to reject thoughts that weaken you. Every day your mind produces thousands of thoughts. Some are useful, they guide you, they strengthen you, they help you make good decisions. But many of them weaken you. They fill your head with doubt, they tell you you're not ready, they make you replay old mistakes, and they whisper reasons why you can't move forward. If you don't train your brain to recognize and reject these thoughts, they will quietly shape your decisions, your actions, and eventually, your life. The truth is, thoughts are not facts. Just because you think something doesn't mean it's true. But if you don't learn to filter them, your brain will treat them as truth. You might think, I'm not good enough, or I'll probably fail, or I don't have what it takes. And if you let those thoughts sit long enough, you'll start to believe them. Beliefs are just repeated thoughts you've accepted as reality. This is why you need the skill to catch a weakening thought the moment it shows up and refuse to feed it. Weak thoughts have certain patterns. They make you feel smaller. They focus on what's wrong with you instead of what's strong in you. They replay the worst moments of your past and ignore the progress you've made. They exaggerate problems and make challenges seem bigger than they are. When these thoughts arrive, your energy changes. You hesitate more. You procrastinate. You lose the spark to take action. If you've ever wondered why you feel stuck for days or weeks, it often begins with letting these thoughts live in your mind without challenge. The first step to training your brain to reject weakening thoughts is awareness. You can't fight what you don't see. Most people don't even realize how many negative thoughts pass through their mind in a day. They run on autopilot, letting these thoughts influence their mood and their choices. You have to slow down and pay attention. Notice what you tell yourself when you wake up in the morning. Notice what you say in your mind after you make a mistake. Notice the language you use when you think about your future. This awareness is like turning on the lights in a room. You can finally see what's there. Once you become aware, you need to challenge those thoughts. Ask yourself, is this true? Is this helpful? Does this thought make me stronger or weaker? If it makes you weaker, reject it. This doesn't mean pretending it never existed. It means you refuse to treat it as truth. You consciously replace it with something that moves you forward. For example, instead of, I can't do this, you tell yourself, I will figure this out step by step. Instead of, I'm not ready, you say, I'm learning as I go and getting better. This is not lying to yourself. It's choosing to tell yourself something that fuels action instead of killing it. Training your brain takes repetition. You can't do this once and expect it to stick. Just like you train your body in the gym, you train your mind by showing up every day and doing the work. In the beginning, you might still slip into old patterns. You might catch yourself thinking something that drags you down. That's fine. The goal is not perfection. It's progress. Each time you catch a weakening thought and replace it, you are rewiring your brain. You are teaching it a new habit. Another powerful way to reject weakening thoughts is to control your input. Your thoughts are heavily influenced by what you watch, read, and listen to. If you fill your mind with negativity, constant bad news, toxic social media, conversations that only complain, your brain will reflect that in your thoughts. If you want stronger thoughts, you need stronger input. Spend time with people who push you forward. Read books that challenge your thinking. Listen to ideas that inspire action, not fear. The quality of your mental diet shapes the quality of your thoughts. One of the biggest traps people fall into is identifying with their negative thoughts. They say, that's just the way I am, or I've always been like this. The truth is, you're not your thoughts. Thoughts are mental events. They come and go. You are the observer, not the thought itself. If you take ownership of a weakening thought, it becomes part of your identity, and that's much harder to change. But when you see it as just a thought passing through, you give yourself the power to let it go. There's also a physical side to this. Your body and your thoughts are connected. When you sit slouched, tired, and inactive, your brain is more likely to feed you weak, passive thoughts. But if you move your body, stand tall, walk with purpose, breathe deeply, you send your brain a message that you are ready, alert, and capable. Small physical changes can interrupt a chain of weakening thoughts before they take over. Another point is to set mental boundaries. Just like you would protect your home from intruders, you protect your mind from thoughts that have no right to be there. You decide what gets to stay and what must leave. This takes discipline, but discipline is the foundation of a strong mindset. Every time you tell a weakening thought no, you are exercising that discipline muscle. Over time, your brain starts to favor strong thoughts because you've made them the default. Some people think they need to eliminate all negative thoughts to live a strong life. That's not true. You can't stop them from showing up. The goal isn't to never have them. It's to never let them take control. Weakening thoughts are like uninvited guests. They might knock on the door, but you don't have to let them in. You acknowledge they're there, but you choose not to give them a seat at your table. You also have to be careful with the small, quiet thoughts. Sometimes the ones that weaken you the most are not loud and obvious. They sound reasonable. They say things like, maybe later, or it's not the right time, or you don't have enough experience yet. On the surface, they seem harmless, even logical. But if you look closer, you see that they are just excuses in disguise. They delay your action. They keep you from starting, and if you keep believing them, they will waste years of your life. The way you speak to yourself sets the tone for your entire day. If the first thing you do each morning is let weakening thoughts run unchecked, you're giving your day away before it even begins. But if you start the day by reminding yourself of what you're capable of, focusing on what's possible instead of what's wrong, you set a powerful standard. You tell your brain what kind of thoughts you will accept. It's also important to recognize triggers, situations, people, or environments that tend to spark weakening thoughts in you. Maybe it's comparing yourself to others online. Maybe it's a certain friend who only talks about problems. Maybe it's a specific activity where you've failed before. Once you know your triggers, you can prepare for them. You can decide in advance how you will respond, instead of letting them catch you off guard. Over time, as you train your brain, you will notice a shift. Weakening thoughts will still show up, but they won't carry the same weight. They won't have the power to paralyze you like they used to. You'll hear them, dismiss them, and keep moving. That's when you know your training is working, not when the thoughts are gone, but when they no longer control your actions. This is the foundation of mental strength. It's not about pretending everything is perfect. It's about facing reality, seeing the thoughts that would hold you back, and choosing to rise above them. It's about protecting your mental energy so you can put it into the things that matter. And it's about building a habit of strength so deep that it becomes who you are. The more you practice, the faster you'll catch the weak thoughts. The faster you catch them, the less damage they can do. And the less they control you, the more you'll be able to focus on the actions that lead you to the life you truly deserve. This is how you turn your mind into an ally instead of an enemy. This is how you build the inner strength to match the life you're working to create. When you reject the thoughts that weaken you, you make room for the thoughts that empower you. And when your mind is filled with thoughts that make you stronger, you'll take stronger actions, and those stronger actions will shape a stronger life, one that reflects exactly what you've worked for. And exactly what you deserve. Chapter 3. Stop letting emotions control the direction of your day. Every day you wake up, you're given the same choice. Will you control your day, or will your day control you? For most people, emotions take the driver's seat before they even realize it. Something small happens, a message you didn't like, a conversation that felt off, a thought about something that went wrong last week, and it sets the tone for the rest of the day. Instead of choosing how to respond, you hand over control. You let your feelings dictate what you do, how you think, and how you treat the people around you. And when emotions take control, they rarely lead you where you want to go. Strong emotions are not the problem. They're a normal part of being human. The real problem is when you make decisions in the heat of those emotions, without stepping back to see clearly. Acting on emotion alone can make you say things you don't mean, quit when you should keep going, or avoid things you need to face. If you keep allowing your emotions to run the day, you'll keep ending up in places you never meant to be. You have to understand how emotions work. They are signals, not commands. They tell you something about your current experience, but they are not instructions you have to follow. Anger, frustration, sadness, anxiety. These are all valid signals, but they don't automatically mean you should take action based on them. If you start training yourself to see emotions as information instead of orders, you give yourself the space to make better choices. When you live on emotional autopilot, every little thing can derail you. If someone says something disrespectful, you carry it around for hours. If your morning starts with bad news, the whole day feels ruined. If something goes wrong at work, you replay it all afternoon. You're reacting to life instead of directing it. But when you take ownership of your emotions, you become steady. You're no longer at the mercy of whatever happens. One of the most effective ways to stop letting emotions control your day is to pause before responding. Most people react instantly, without giving their logical mind a chance to step in. That's when regret follows. A pause creates room between what happens and what you do next. Even a few seconds of breathing before speaking or acting can prevent hours or days of damage. This is not about suppressing emotions, it's about giving yourself time to process them before you decide your next move. It's also important to know your emotional triggers. Certain situations, people, or even memories can spark a strong reaction in you. If you don't recognize these triggers, they will keep catching you off guard. Pay attention to the times when your emotions spike quickly. Is it when someone interrupts you, when you feel ignored, when you're under pressure? Knowing your triggers helps you prepare a response ahead of time, so you're not swept away in the moment. Another way to keep emotions from taking over is to check the story you're telling yourself. Something happens, and instantly, you give it a meaning. A friend doesn't call you back, and you decide it means they don't care. Your boss looks serious, and you assume you're in trouble. A stranger doesn't smile, and you think they're being rude. These are all interpretations, not facts, and they fuel emotions that may have no basis in reality. Before you let an emotion take over, ask yourself if the story you're telling is the only possible explanation. Your physical state also affects your emotions, more than most people realize. When you're tired, hungry, or stressed, your emotions can swing harder and faster. If you've ever been irritated for no reason, only to realize you hadn't eaten in hours, you know this is true. Taking care of your body, getting enough sleep, eating real food, staying active, makes it much easier to keep emotions in check. A strong mind works best when the body is supported. You also need to separate your identity from your current emotional state. Feeling angry doesn't mean you are an angry person. Feeling anxious doesn't mean you are weak. When you tie your emotions to your identity, you're more likely to defend them instead of release. You start saying, "This is just who I am," and that keeps you stuck. See emotions as temporary experiences, not permanent traits. They can shift quickly when you stop clinging to them. A useful mental skill is to decide in advance how you want to feel and act for the day. instead of waking up and waiting to see what mood shows up. Set the tone yourself. Maybe you choose to focus on patience, or productivity, or gratitude. Throughout the day, when emotions rise that don't match that tone, you'll notice it right away. Then you can decide if you want to let that emotion in or let it pass. One thing to remember is that emotions often come and go much faster than we expect if we don't feed them. The more you dwell on them, replay events, or talk about them without resolution, the longer they stay. A spike of anger might naturally fade in minutes, but if you keep thinking about what caused it, you'll keep it alive for hours. You control whether an emotion is a brief visitor or a long-term resident. It's also worth noticing how much your environment shapes your emotional state. The people you spend time with can either calm you or stir up constant emotional storms. The spaces you live and work in can either create a sense of order or stress. You have more control over these influences than you think. Choosing your environment carefully is part of choosing the emotions you want to live with. When you stop letting emotions run your day, you make room for logic, discipline, and long-term thinking. You stop making decisions you regret. You stop wasting hours stuck in feelings that don't help you. You start handling challenges with a clear head, even when the situation is intense. People will notice the difference. They will see that you're steady, reliable, and able to keep moving forward, no matter what happens. Some people resist this idea because they think controlling emotions means being cold or unemotional. That's not the goal. The goal is to be the one in charge of how you respond, not a prisoner to every mood shift. You can feel deeply and still think clearly. You can acknowledge emotions without letting them decide your next step. The discipline of emotional control is built the same way as any other discipline, through practice. You practice in small moments, so you're ready for the big one. You practice when the stakes are low, so you're strong when they're high. Over time, it becomes second nature to pause, question your thoughts, and choose your response instead of reacting blindly. And here's something important: you don't have to win the emotional battle perfectly every day. Some days you'll slip, and that's fine. The key is to notice when it happens and reset as soon as you can. Don't let one bad moment turn into a bad day. Don't let one bad day turn into a bad week. Emotional control isn't about never feeling upset. It's about catching yourself sooner and steering back toward the direction you want to go. If you look at the most stable, effective, and respected people, you'll see a common thread. They don't hand over their day to emotion. They might feel the same frustrations you do, but they don't let those feelings decide how they act. They've trained themselves to respond with thought, not impulse. And because of that, they create more consistent results in their life. The more you master this skill, the more confidence you gain. You stop being afraid of difficult situations because you know you can handle them without losing control. You stop avoiding challenges because you trust yourself to think clearly under pressure. That confidence spreads to every area of your life: work, relationships, health, and personal growth. When you wake up tomorrow, pay attention to the first strong emotion you feel. Pause before you act on it. Ask yourself if it's leading you toward the kind of day you want or away from it. If it's pulling you in the wrong direction, choose a different response. Keep doing this every day, and over time you'll find that your emotions no longer control you. You control them. And when that happens, you stop wasting days on feelings that don't serve you and start building days that create the life you truly want.
Chapter 4. Choose behaviors that match the future you want. Every day you make choices. Some are small and seem harmless. Others are big and obvious, but every single one shapes where you end up. If you look closely at the life you have now, you'll see it's the direct result of the behaviors you've been repeating for years. That's why, if you want a different future, you have to start acting in a way that lines up with it right now. Your daily behaviors are either moving you toward the life you want, or keeping you locked into the life you're trying to leave behind. There's no neutral ground. The future you want is not going to be built by accident. It will come from the actions you choose on purpose. Too many people say they want a certain life, but spend their days doing the exact opposite of what it would take to get there. They want financial freedom, but spend recklessly. They want a strong body, but neglect their health. They want deep relationships, but don't put in the time or attention. Wanting something is useless if your behavior works against it. To align your behavior with your desired future, you first have to be crystal clear on what that future looks like. You can't just say, "I want to be successful," or "I want to be happy." You have to define it. What exactly does success mean to you? What does happiness look like in your daily life? Without a clear vision, you won't know which behaviors match it and which don't. And if you don't know the difference, you'll keep making choices that feel okay in the moment, but sabotage your long-term goals. Once you know the future you want, every decision becomes a test. Does this action move me closer to my goal or further away? This is the filter you should run every choice through. It's not about being perfect. It's about developing the habit of catching yourself before you act in ways that contradict your vision. When you start thinking this way, you stop doing things just because they're convenient or because everyone else is doing it. You start acting based on your own long-term interests. You also have to understand that your current habits are not random. They are deeply ingrained patterns built over time, and some of them may directly oppose the future you want. Changing them won't happen overnight, but it starts with awareness. Identify the behaviors that don't serve you. Be brutally honest with yourself. Maybe you waste too much time on distractions. Maybe you give in to laziness too easily. Maybe you avoid hard conversations that would actually help your relationships. Until you face these truths, you'll keep repeating them. Replacing these patterns means making deliberate choices every single day. If your goal is to be financially independent, your behavior has to reflect discipline in how you earn, save, and invest your money. If your goal is to have better health, your behavior has to reflect discipline in what you eat, how you move, and how you rest. If your goal is to grow in your career, your behavior has to reflect discipline in learning, producing results, and taking initiative. You can't say you want one thing but keep doing the opposite without paying the price. One of the traps people fall into is waiting until they feel ready to change their behavior. That day will never come. You will never wake up and suddenly feel like doing all the things you've been avoiding. You have to start now, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it feels forced at first. The truth is, action creates readiness. The more you do the behaviors that match your future, the more natural they become, and eventually, they replace the old ones. You also have to understand the role of discipline. Motivation is nice, but it's unreliable. Some days you'll feel inspired, but many days you won't. Discipline is what keeps you consistent when the excitement fades. Discipline is making the choice to keep going even when no one is watching, even when the results aren't visible yet. Without discipline, you'll fall back into your old ways the moment things get hard. Part of choosing the right behaviors is learning to delay gratification. The behaviors that build your future often require giving up short-term comfort for long-term reward. It's saying no to something fun right now, so you can say yes to something greater late. This is where most people fail. They choose what feels good in the moment, instead of what will be good for them in the future. If you can master this one skill, you'll separate yourself from most of the world. You also have to surround yourself with the right environment. Your surroundings have a massive influence on your behavior. If you're constantly around people who don't care about their future, you'll be tempted to lower your standards. If your home or workspace is full of distractions, you'll waste more time than you realize. Shape your environment so it supports your desired behaviors instead of working against them. Another key is tracking your actions. Don't just hope you're on the right track, measure it. Keep a record of how you spend your time, what you accomplish, how you respond to challenges. This makes you aware of whether your daily behavior is truly aligned with your vision, or if you're fooling yourself. People who succeed over the long term don't leave this to guesswork. They monitor their progress and adjust when needed. Be willing to sacrifice. The life you want will require letting go of certain things. You may have to give up habits that feel comfortable. You may have to distance yourself from people who don't share your values. You may have to stop spending time on hobbies or activities that give you nothing in return. This is not punishment, it's making room for the future you want to build. It's also important to reward yourself for progress. Changing behavior is not easy, and acknowledging your wins, no matter how small, keeps you moving forward. This doesn't mean relaxing back into your old ways after a bit of success. It means recognizing that you're on the right path and using that energy to keep going. Most importantly, you have to be honest with yourself every step of the way. If your behavior doesn't match your vision, own it. Don't make excuses. Don't blame circumstances. Don't pretend you're doing better than you are. Self-deception is the fastest way to stay stuck. Brutal honesty may sting in the moment, but it's the foundation of real change. The person you are today is a result of your past behavior. The person you will be tomorrow is a result of the behaviors you choose today. If you want a future where you are stronger, wiser, wealthier, healthier, or more fulfilled, start acting like that person now. Not tomorrow, not when life feels easier, not when the timing is perfect. Now, your future is not shaped by what you say you want. It's shaped by what you do repeatedly. Every day you have a choice to reinforce the behaviors that move you forward or the ones that hold you back. Every decision you make is a vote for the kind of future you'll live in. Choose behaviors that cast votes for the life you truly want. If you consistently align your actions with your vision, something powerful happens. Your life begins to move in that direction, almost automatically. You stop fighting against yourself. You stop living in conflict between your goals and your habits. And one day, you'll look back and realize that the future you once imagined is now the present you're living. That's the reward for choosing behaviors that match the life you want. It turns the future you dream of into the reality you deserve.
Chapter 5. Work through discomfort until it becomes your new normal. Most people run from discomfort the moment they feel it. They think it's a sign that something is wrong, a signal to stop, slow down, or change direction. But the truth is, discomfort is almost always a sign that you're doing something that stretches you, challenges you, and forces you to grow. The people who get the most out of life are not the ones who avoid discomfort. They are the ones who work through it until it no longer controls them. They understand that the point is not to escape it, but to make it part of their new normal. If you want more in life, whether it's a stronger body, a sharper mind, a better career, or deeper relationships, you will have to face situations that don't feel comfortable. You'll have to make hard choices. You'll have to stay committed when your mind is telling you to quit. You'll have to put yourself in situations where you're uncertain, nervous, or even scared. Growth doesn't happen where you feel safe and relaxed. It happens when you step into something that challenges you and refuse to run from it. In the beginning, discomfort feels loud. It demands your attention. Your mind tries to bargain with you. You've done enough today. You're too tired. You can do this later. It's not worth it. That voice will always be there when you push yourself beyond your current limits. The mistake most people make is treating that voice as truth. In reality, it's just resistance, a natural response from your brain trying to keep you in the same place. The only way to break past that resistance is to keep going when it shows up. Each time you continue despite the discomfort, you weaken its hold on you. You train your mind to see discomfort not as a threat, but as a normal part of your daily life. And something amazing happens when you do this consistently. What used to feel overwhelming starts to feel ordinary. The workout you once dreaded becomes a habit. The difficult conversations you avoided become manageable. The work tasks that drained you become part of your routine. Discomfort loses its power when you face it repeatedly.
You have to stop treating discomfort as a rare intruder. You have to invite it into your life on purpose. Set goals that require more from you than you think you can give. Take on challenges that make you feel unprepared. Do things that you've been avoiding, simply because they make you uneasy. You cannot toughen your mind if you only do what feels good. One thing that helps is reframing how you think about discomfort. Instead of saying, "This is too hard," tell yourself, "This is me growing." Instead of thinking, "I can't handle this," say, "I'm learning how to handle this." This is not about lying to yourself. It's about giving meaning to the struggle. If you see discomfort as progress, it becomes fuel instead of a roadblock. Another key is to start small but stay consistent. You don't have to take on the biggest challenge of your life on day one. You just have to choose something that stretches you slightly beyond your comfort zone, and do it regularly. That might mean waking up earlier than you want to, having one uncomfortable conversation you've been putting off, or working longer on a task than you feel like. Over time, the small things build the strength for bigger ones. You'll also have to be willing to fail. Discomfort and failure are close friends. You can't embrace one without risking the other. Too many people play it safe because they're afraid to fail, and in doing so they keep themselves trapped in the same small circle. If you can learn to see failure as part of the process rather than a reason to stop, you'll find it much easier to face discomfort head on. Every failure teaches you something. Every failure toughens you. Every failure makes discomfort less intimidating. It's important to understand that discomfort is temporary, but the benefits of working through it are lasting. The workout ends. The speech finishes. The hard conversation is over. But the strength you gain from pushing through stays with you. That strength carries into the next challenge, and the one after that. Eventually, you stop dreading discomfort, because you've proven to yourself that you can survive it, and even thrive because of it. Your environment will either make this easier, or harder. If you spend your time with people who avoid challenge, you'll be tempted to do the same. But if you surround yourself with people who push themselves daily, you'll be inspired to raise your own standards. Energy is contagious. Choose your company carefully. Another thing to watch out for is your self-talk in moments of discomfort. How you speak to yourself determines whether you keep going or quit. If you tell yourself, "I can't take this anymore," you're giving your mind permission to stop. If you tell yourself, "Just a little more," you're giving yourself a bridge to keep moving forward. That inner voice can either break you or build you. Train it to work for you, not against you. Track your progress. Keep a record of the things you've done that once felt impossible. Look back regularly to remind yourself of how far you've come. This builds confidence and helps you see that discomfort isn't something to fear. It's something you've overcome before and can overcome again. When you start to normalize discomfort, you realize it's not as bad as you imagine. Most of the pain is in the anticipation, not the experience. The workout isn't unbearable, it's just the first few minutes that feel tough. The conversation isn't unbearable, it's just the fear before you start speaking. The work isn't impossible, it's just getting started that feels heavy. Once you begin, you often find it's less painful than you thought. Don't wait for motivation to face discomfort. Motivation is unpredictable. It's here one day, gone the next. If you rely on it, you'll avoid hard things on the days it's missing. Build habits that don't depend on motivation. Commit to a schedule, not a feeling. When it's time to do something that challenges you, do it whether you feel like it or not. That's how you build the discipline that makes discomfort easier to handle. As you grow more comfortable with discomfort, your life changes in powerful ways. You stop holding back. You take more risks, not reckless ones, but calculated ones. You stop avoiding opportunities because they scare you. You stop doubting whether you can handle things. Instead, you face them knowing you've handled difficult situations before and can do it again. This shift is what separates those who make lasting progress from those who stay stuck. The difference isn't talent, it isn't luck, it isn't opportunity. It's the willingness to work through discomfort until it no longer feels like a threat. The people who achieve the life they want are the ones who can do what's necessary, even when it's unpleasant. The longer you avoid discomfort, the more power it has over you. The sooner you face it, the more power you take back. It's that simple. Every day you have the choice to lean in or pull back. Lean in often enough, and discomfort becomes familiar. And when it's familiar, it stops controlling you. Eventually, you reach a point where the challenges that once scared you become just another part of your day. That's when you know you've truly shifted your normal. You're no longer someone who avoids the hard things, you're someone who expects them, handles them, and grows because of them. At that point, the future you want is no longer out of reach, because you've built the resilience to do whatever it takes to get there. If you can work through discomfort until it becomes your new normal, you will have a skill most people will never develop, and that skill will follow you into every area of life, making you unstoppable in your pursuit of what you truly deserve. Chapter 6. Use rejection as proof you are pushing forward. Rejection is something most people spend their entire lives trying to avoid. They see it as proof that they're not good enough, that they're not ready, or that they don't belong. But that's the wrong way to look at it. Rejection is not a signal to stop. It's evidence that you're putting yourself in positions that matter. If you never hear no, it's because you're not aiming high enough. If you never get turned down, it's because you're staying where it's safe. And nothing extraordinary ever comes from staying safe. Every meaningful pursuit in life carries the risk of rejection. The moment you ask for a raise, apply for a competitive job, launch a business, share your ideas, or put your work out into the world, you open yourself up to being told you're not what they're looking for. That's unavoidable. The only way to escape it is to never try. But if you choose that route, you're also rejecting yourself before anyone else even gets the chance. That's far worse than hearing no from someone else. Rejection is feedback. It's information. It tells you that you've stepped out of the comfortable circle you've been living in and tried something that could move you forward. When you start seeing it that way, it loses much of its sting. It becomes less of a personal attack and more of a checkpoint. Instead of asking why me, you start asking what can I learn from this? That shift is the difference between staying stuck and using rejection to fuel your growth. One of the most dangerous beliefs you can hold is that rejection means you're failing. The truth is, the people who succeed the most are usually the ones who have been rejected the most. The best athletes have been told they weren't good enough at some point. The most successful business owners have had people doubt their idea. The most admired leaders have faced setbacks and resistance. What separates them from everyone else is that they kept moving forward anyway. They took the rejection as a sign that they were in the game, not sitting on the sideline. It's important to realize that rejection often has little to do with your actual ability or potential. Sometimes it's timing. Sometimes it's the preferences of the person making the decision. Sometimes it's about factors you can't control. If you let a single no define your worth, you're giving away your power to someone else's opinion. That opinion might be flawed, biased, or based on incomplete information. Don't let that opinion dictate what you do next. You also have to separate the emotional response from the practical reality. Rejection will almost always sting in the moment. It's human nature to want approval, but you can't let that initial sting shape your long-term choices. Give yourself a moment to feel it, but don't let that feeling turn into hesitation, self-doubt, or quitting. Once the emotion passes, look at the situation objectively. Was there something you could improve? Was there something you could do differently next time? Or was it simply a matter of moving on and finding the right opportunity? Every no you face is a step closer to a yes. That's not just a motivational phrase, it's the reality of persistence. If you send out one application and get rejected, you've just started the process. If you send out 100 and get rejected 99 times, you're still ahead, because you've multiplied your chances of finding the one that works. The numbers are simple. The more times you put yourself in play, the greater your odds of success. But most people quit after the first few no's. That's why most people never get to see what's possible for them. One of the best ways to become comfortable with rejection is to deliberately seek it out. Not recklessly, but intentionally. Make it a goal to face situations where you might hear no. Ask for things that stretch you. Pitch ideas to people who might not accept them. Reach out to opportunities that seem slightly out of reach. The more you do this, the more you realize that rejection doesn't destroy you. In fact, it often makes you sharper. You start to care less about the discomfort and more about the possibilities that come with trying. There's also a hidden benefit to rejection. It forces you to refine your approach. If you keep hearing no for the same reason, that's a clue about what you need to change. Maybe your skills need improvement. Maybe your message isn't clear enough. Maybe your timing is off. Without rejection, you might keep repeating the same mistakes without realizing it. In this way, rejection is a teacher that reveals what you need to adjust before you can succeed. It's worth noting that rejection also helps filter out the wrong paths. Not every opportunity is right for you. Sometimes the no you hear is protecting you from wasting time on something that would not have served you in the long run. What feels like a setback now can turn out to be a blessing later. You may only see that in hindsight, but it happens more often than you think. You should also remind yourself that the people rejecting you are just as human as you are. They have their own fears, pressures, and limitations. Their decision is not a final judgment on your value, it's simply a reflection of their perspective at that moment. That's why it's dangerous to take it personally. If you do, you risk shrinking your ambitions to avoid feeling that discomfort again. Instead, wear rejection as a badge of honor. If you've been turned down, it means you were in the arena taking risks, doing something that matters. The more rejections you've collected, the more proof you have that you're not standing still. Keep those rejections as reminders of the times you were brave enough to step forward instead of hiding away. The key is to treat rejection as a signal to keep moving, not a reason to stop. That means the next step after hearing no should be action. Apply again. Ask again. Try again. Try again. Reach out to someone else. Tweak your approach. Keep the momentum going so that rejection becomes just one part of the process, instead of the end of the process. Your confidence grows each time you survive rejection. At first, it may feel crushing. But the more you face it, the less it controls you. Eventually, you'll get to the point where rejection is just another piece of feedback, something to note, learn from, and move past. That's when you become dangerous in the best way possible. You stop holding back. You stop letting fear dictate your moves. You start chasing what you really want, without being slowed by the possibility of someone saying no. Remember, no one who has achieved anything meaningful has done so without rejection. They've been told they couldn't do it, that it wouldn't work, that they weren't the right fit. But instead of taking those words as the final verdict, they used them as fuel. They kept showing up, improving, adjusting, and trying again until they broke through. That's the mindset you need if you're serious about getting what you truly deserve. If you can turn rejection into proof that you're moving forward, you'll stop fearing it. You'll start chasing bigger opportunities. You'll stop wondering if you're on the right path, and know you are, because rejection will be the sign that you're stretching beyond your limit. And if you keep pushing long enough, those no's will eventually lead you to the yes that changes everything. When you can reach that point, rejection no longer feels like a wall. It becomes a milestone, a marker of progress, and you realize that every time you face it, you're not moving backward, you're stepping closer to the life you've been working for all along.
Chapter 7. Limit time with people who drain your self-belief. The people you spend time with have more influence over you than you may want to admit. They shape the way you think about yourself, the way you view the world, and the way you see your own potential. If you are around those who constantly doubt you, criticize you without offering help, or make you feel small, it will chip away at your self-belief over time. And once your self-belief is weakened, it becomes much harder to move forward in life. That is why you must be intentional about who gets your time and energy. Self-belief is the foundation of every goal you pursue. Without it, you won't take the risks you need to take. You won't follow through when things get hard. You won't even start in some cases, because you've convinced yourself it's not possible. And while self-belief is something you must build within yourself, the wrong people can erode it quickly. Sometimes they do it openly by telling you that you can't do something, and other times they do it subtly, through dismissive comments, sarcastic remarks, or constant negativity. You need to recognize that not everyone in your life will want you to grow. For some, your growth will make them uncomfortable because it reminds them of their own lack of progress. For others, they may feel threatened by the idea that you could surpass them in some way. And for a few, it's simply that they have a habit of tearing people down instead of building them up. If you keep these people close without boundaries, their influence will seep into your thinking. You may start questioning your abilities, hesitating on decisions, or lowering your standards to match theirs. It's not about cutting everyone out of your life the moment they disagree with you. Healthy disagreement can help you grow. The real issue is with those whose presence consistently drains your confidence and leaves you feeling less capable than before. If every time you share an idea, a dream, or a plan, they respond with reasons why it won't work, that's not guidance, it's discouragement. If you walk away from conversations feeling smaller, weaker, or less inspired than before, you need to reevaluate how much access they should have to your mind. Sometimes these people have been in your life for years. They may be family members, old friends, or colleagues you see every day. That makes it harder to create distance, but it doesn't make it less necessary. You can't allow loyalty or history to keep you in an environment that's damaging your mindset. If someone has shown you repeatedly that they are not supportive of your growth, you have to adjust the role they play in your life. That might mean seeing them less often, keeping conversations short, or avoiding topics that invite their negativity. You also have to understand that limiting time with these people isn't just about avoiding negativity, it's about making room for the right influences. The hours you spend listening to doubt, criticism, and fear are hours you could spend around people who believe in you, encourage you, and push you to be better. Time is your most valuable resource. You can't afford to waste it feeding relationships that keep you stuck. It's important to pay attention to how you feel after interacting with someone. Do you feel energized, motivated, and ready to take action? Or do you feel drained, frustrated, and unsure of yourself? Your body and mind will tell you the truth long before you consciously admit it. Use those feelings as a guide for deciding how much time to give a person. When you start limiting your exposure to those who weaken your self-belief, you may face resistance. They might accuse you of being distant, selfish, or arrogant. That's because they feel the change in the dynamic. They're losing the influence they once had over you. But you can't let that guilt pull you back. Protecting your mindset is not selfish. It's necessary if you want to create the life you deserve. Replacing harmful influences with positive ones will accelerate your growth. Seek out people who are doing what you want to do, who think bigger than you currently think, and who push you to stretch yourself. Look for those who celebrate your wins,
without jealousy, and challenge you when you're capable of more. These relationships will strengthen your self-belief instead of eroding it. You also have to be careful about subtle influence. Not every person who drains your confidence will do it through direct criticism. Some will do it by constantly focusing on the negative in their own lives. Spend enough time around them, and you start adopting their worldview without even realizing. You may become more pessimistic, more risk-averse, and more hesitant to try new things. Not because you truly believe those things, but because you've absorbed their mindset. If you're serious about limiting these influences, you need to be deliberate. This means actively choosing who you spend time with, not just going along with whatever's convenient or familiar. You may need to say no to invitations. You may need to stop answering every call. You may need to create new routines that give you less contact with those who hold you back. It's also worth recognizing that you can outgrow people. Just because someone was a good influence years ago doesn't mean they still are today. You're evolving, and not everyone will evolve with you. Some will remain in the same patterns, and if you keep too close to them, those patterns can slow you down. Outgrowing someone doesn't mean you wish them harm. It just means your paths are no longer aligned. Limiting time with people who drain your self-belief is not about building walls, it's about setting healthy boundaries. Boundaries protect your energy, your focus, and your belief in what's possible. Without them, you leave yourself open to constant erosion of confidence, and over time, that erosion can turn into a complete collapse of ambition. Remember, you become like the people you spend the most time with. If you want to be confident, capable, and resilient, you need to be around others who reflect those qualities. If you want to push yourself beyond your current limits, you need to be around others who are doing the same. Every hour you spend with someone is an investment. Make sure you're investing in the right direction. By being intentional about who gets your time, you take control of your mental environment. You stop letting others shape your belief in yourself. You stop handing over your confidence to people who don't value it. And you start surrounding yourself with influences that lift you up instead of pulling you down. Over time, you'll notice a difference. Your thinking will become sharper, your confidence will grow, your decisions will be bolder. That's because you've removed the constant noise that once made you doubt yourself. You've created space for your own voice, and for the voices of those who want to see you succeed, to be louder than the voices of doubt. When you protect your self-belief, you protect your future, and when you limit time with people who drain it, you're making one of the smartest, most powerful choices you can make for your life. You're choosing to take responsibility for the influences you allow in, and in doing so, you're choosing to protect the mindset that will carry you to the life you truly deserve. Chapter 8. Do the right thing even when it feels unseen. Doing the right thing when everyone is watching is easy. It's when no one is looking that your true character is tested. In those quiet moments, when there's no applause, no recognition, and no immediate reward, the choice you make says everything about who you really are. Most people want to be seen doing good things, but the real measure of a person is whether they will still make the right choice when it feels invisible. That's the difference between living for appearances and living with integrity. The temptation to cut corners is strongest when you believe no one will notice. It could be skipping a step in your work because it takes more time, not admitting a small mistake because it might make you look bad, or failing to follow through on a promise because you think no one will remember. These moments might seem small, but they matter. They shape the kind of person you become, and over time, they either build your strength of character or slowly erode it. When you consistently do the right thing in private, you build trust with yourself. That trust is powerful because it allows you to rely on your own word. You know that if you say you'll do something, you will, whether or not someone is keeping track. This kind of self-respect is the foundation of a strong mindset. Without it, you may look confident on the outside, but always feel shaky on the inside, because deep down you know you don't always follow through. There's another truth here. What you do in the unseen eventually shapes what shows up in the visible. The habits you build in private are the ones that determine how you act under pressure. If you're in the habit of taking shortcuts when no one notices, that habit will show up when it matters most. And if you're in the habit of holding yourself to a high standard in private, that standard will carry over into everything you do. Doing the right thing without recognition requires discipline. There will be days when it feels pointless, when you wonder if your effort matters at all. You might see other people getting ahead by taking the easy way out, and it will test your resolve. But here's the reality: shortcuts rarely last. Success built on cutting corners has cracks in its foundation. It might look stable from the outside, but it will collapse sooner or later. Doing the right thing consistently builds something far stronger, something that lasts. When you make a choice, it's not just about that one decision, it's about the pattern you're creating. Every choice is a vote for the kind of person you are becoming. Each time you do the right thing when it's unseen, you're strengthening your identity as someone who can be trusted, someone who holds themselves to a standard, someone who doesn't need an audience to act with integrity. It's important to understand that doing the right thing unseen isn't just about morality, it's also about long-term results. In any pursuit, whether in business, health, relationships, or personal growth, the actions that lead to real success are often unglamorous. They're the small, consistent things you do every day, without praise or validation. Showing up on time, keeping your word, preparing thoroughly, practicing when no one's watching, these are the things that separate the truly successful from the ones who only look successful on the surface. In relationships, doing the right thing unseen means being loyal when the other person isn't around to see it. It means keeping your promises even when it's inconvenient. It means not speaking behind someone's back, even if it would be easy to. These actions might never be noticed, but they create a foundation of trust that can withstand challenges. In your work, it means putting in the effort to deliver quality, even when the task is small and unlikely to be acknowledged. It means preparing as if the outcome matters deeply, even if no one will see the preparation. It means caring about your own standards more than the praise you might receive. Over time, this builds a reputation that can't be faked. People eventually notice the consistency, even if they can't point to the exact moments that created it. There's a quiet confidence that comes from living this way. You don't have to boast about your work or seek constant validation because you know what you've done. You can walk into any situation knowing you've prepared, that you've done the right thing even when it was inconvenient, and that you can rely on the habits you've built. That kind of confidence can't be bought, it has to be earned, day after day in the unseen. Of course, there will be moments when you feel like no one cares. That's when you have to remind yourself that the goal is not to be seen doing the right thing. The goal is to be the kind of person who does it automatically. Recognition may come, but even if it doesn't, the rewards are still there. You're building resilience, you're strengthening your discipline. You're training yourself to be dependable. These qualities will serve you far more than momentary applause ever could. Another reason to do the right thing unseen is that you never truly know who's paying attention. People notice more than they say. A colleague might see your work ethic and be inspired to raise their own standard. A friend might notice your consistency and decide to commit to their own goals more seriously. Your example can have a ripple effect you don't even realize. But the most important audience is always yourself. You have to live with the choices you make. If you compromise your values in private, you'll carry that knowledge with you. It will sit in the back of your mind, quietly eroding your confidence. But if you know you've acted with integrity, you can stand tall regardless of the outcome. You'll find that the more you practice doing the right thing in unseen moments, the easier it becomes. At first, it might feel like a choice you have to think about. Over time, it becomes automatic. You stop debating with yourself because your standard is set. You simply don't cut corners. You simply don't break your word. You simply don't compromise your principles, whether anyone is watching or not. Living this way also frees you from the exhaustion of trying to maintain an image. When your private actions match your public values, you don't have to pretend. You don't have to worry about being found out. You can live openly and confidently, because you're not hiding anything. This kind of integrity brings peace of mind that is rare and valuable. And make no mistake, life has a way of rewarding this. Opportunities tend to find people who are known for doing things right. Trust opens doors that talent alone can't open. The people who consistently show up, follow through and honor their commitments are the ones who are remembered when it matters most. The real work of building the life you want is often invisible. It's the hours no one sees, the decisions no one hears about, the effort no one claps for. But those are the very moments that shape your future. If you can win in those moments, if you can hold yourself to your highest standard, even when it feels unseen, you will develop a strength that few people have. In the end, doing the right thing when it's unseen isn't just about what it says to others, it's about what it says to you. It's about knowing that your values are not for show, that your character isn't dependent on an audience, and that your self-respect is more important than quick wins or easy shortcuts. This is how you build a life you can be proud of, not just in public, but in the quiet moments when it's just you and your choices. If you can commit to that, you will never have to wonder whether you are worthy of trust, respect or opportunity. You will know that you've earned it, not by what others have seen, but by the person you've proven yourself to be when no one was looking. That is the kind of strength that lasts a lifetime.
Chapter 9. Build mental stamina by doing hard things daily. Mental stamina is not something you are born with in full strength. It's something you earn through consistent effort, the same way you would train a muscle. If you want a mind that stays strong when life gets hard, you have to put it under pressure regularly. That means deliberately choosing to do things that challenge you, not just once in a while but every single day. The more you expose yourself to discomfort in a controlled way, the more resilient you become when real challenges arrive. Most people wait until they are forced into a difficult situation to test their mental endurance. By then, it's too late to start building it. They crumble because they haven't prepared themselves for sustained effort under stress. But if you make a habit of doing hard things daily, you create a mental reserve you can draw on when life throws unexpected challenges your way. This preparation is the difference between falling apart at the first sign of struggle and being able to keep moving no matter what happens. Doing hard things daily doesn't have to mean chasing extreme goals right away. It can be as simple as deliberately stepping outside your comfort zone in small but meaningful ways. It might mean waking up earlier than you want, pushing yourself through a workout when you're tired, finishing a task you've been avoiding, or starting a conversation you'd rather skip. The key is to face something that requires effort, focus, and the ability to push past the voice in your head that tells you to stop. Each time you overcome that voice, you strengthen your ability to do it again. The resistance you feel before doing something hard is not a sign you should quit. It's the exact reason you should keep going. That resistance is your mind's way of testing whether you really mean what you say when you set your goal. If you give in to it often, you teach your brain that it can stop you with minimal effort. But if you push through it consistently, you train it to obey your decisions instead of dictating them. Consistency matters more than intensity in the beginning. Doing one extremely hard thing once in a while won't build mental stamina, the same way doing something challenging every day will. Think of it like exercise. One exhausting workout won't make you strong, but daily training will. By stacking small challenges on top of each other, you create a baseline of mental toughness that makes bigger challenges feel less overwhelming.
The benefit of daily hard work is that it changes the way you respond to difficulty in every area of your life. When you're used to doing things you don't want to do, hesitation becomes shorter. You don't waste as much time debating whether you can handle something, you just do it. This habit reduces procrastination and builds a bias toward action, which is one of the most valuable traits you can develop. Another benefit is the discipline it instills. Mental stamina is closely tied to discipline, because you can't keep doing hard things every day without it. Discipline means showing up even when you don't feel like it, and daily challenges force you to practice that skill over and over again. Eventually, you stop relying on motivation, which comes and goes, and start relying on discipline, which you control. The specific hard things you choose to do can evolve over time. As you grow stronger, what once felt difficult will start to feel normal. That's a sign you're improving. It also means you need to raise your standards and choose bigger challenges to continue growing. If you stay at the same level of difficulty for too long, your growth slows down. Your goal should be to keep stretching yourself just beyond your current ability. One way to keep this process effective is to track your progress. Write down the challenges you take on each day and how you handle them. Over weeks and months, you'll see clear evidence of how much stronger you've become. This record also serves as a reminder during tough times that you've already overcome many obstacles before and you can overcome this one too. It's also important to understand that doing hard things daily doesn't mean burning yourself out. It's not about making your life unnecessarily difficult. It's about choosing challenges that build you up, not ones that destroy your ability to keep going. There's a difference between pushing yourself and punishing yourself. The goal is sustainable growth, not self-sabotage. Over time, this daily practice develops an inner calm that surprises you. When others panic under pressure, you're steady. When others give up, you keep going. That steadiness comes from knowing you've faced discomfort before and handled it. You've built trust in yourself through repetition. You no longer fear difficulty the way you once did, because you've made it a normal part of your life. You'll also notice that your confidence grows in ways that have nothing to do with arrogance. It's not about thinking you can't fail, it's about knowing you can recover quickly if you do. That's a critical distinction. People with true mental stamina aren't fearless, they're prepared. They've trained their minds to operate effectively, even when things are uncomfortable, uncertain, or overwhelming. This kind of resilience becomes a competitive advantage in every area of life. In work, you'll take on projects others avoid. In relationships, you'll have the tough conversations others shy away from. In personal growth, you'll tackle habits and skills others put off for years. The ability to consistently do hard things is what separates those who talk about improvement from those who actually improve. You have to remind yourself daily that mental stamina is built, not gifted. Every time you take the easy path, you're missing an opportunity to strengthen it. Every time you choose the hard path, you're making a deposit into your reserve of resilience. One day you will face a challenge so big that it demands everything you've built up. On that day, you'll be grateful for every single time you chose to do something hard when you didn't have to. It's also worth pointing out that the benefits go beyond handling challenges. Doing hard things daily sharpens your focus. It forces you to manage your time better. It teaches you patience, because you see results only after repeated effort. These skills compound over time, creating a version of you that's far more capable than the one who started. In the beginning, the hardest part is simply starting. Your mind will give you endless reasons why you can skip today and start tomorrow. Ignore. The best way to build mental stamina is to start before you feel ready and to keep going long after you feel like stopping. Every day you repeat this process, you reinforce the belief that you are stronger than your excuse. Eventually, what once felt like an uphill battle will feel like your baseline. Waking up early will feel normal. Finishing difficult tasks will feel expected. Facing challenges head-on will feel automatic. That's when you know your mental stamina has reached a new level. But that's not the time to relax, it's the time to raise the bar again. Growth never stops, and the moment you get too comfortable, you risk losing the edge you've worked so hard to build. The real reward of building mental stamina by doing hard things daily is that you stop fearing the unknown. You don't need to know exactly how things will work out because you trust yourself to handle whatever comes. That trust is worth more than any single success, because it gives you the courage to keep moving forward no matter what obstacles appear. If you make this a way of life, if you commit to challenging yourself daily, to pushing through discomfort, to strengthening your mind the way others strengthen their bodies, you will create a level of resilience that most people never experience. And when life inevitably tests you, you won't just survive, you'll push forward with confidence, knowing that you've built the strength to handle anything.
Chapter 10. Tell yourself daily you are capable of much more. The limits you believe you have are rarely the real limits. They are often the product of years of conditioning, repeated doubts, and the voices of people who didn't see your full potential. Most of what stops you isn't your actual ability. It's the quiet belief that you're already doing all you can, that you've reached your ceiling, that your current level is as far as you can go. That belief is what you must break. And the way you break it is by reminding yourself every single day that you are capable of much more than you are showing right now. The mind responds to repeated messages. If you feed it daily reminders that you have untapped potential, it begins to believe it, and when your mind believes it, your actions start to reflect it. On the other hand, if you go through your days without challenging your own sense of capability, you'll settle into patterns that feel comfortable but keep you small. You'll confuse familiarity with mastery, and you'll stop pushing for more because it feels like enough. The truth is, the gap between where you are and where you could be is bigger than you think, but you will never close it if you don't start telling yourself you can. This is not empty self-talk. It's about setting a standard for your inner dialogue that encourages growth instead of reinforcing limits. When you tell yourself you are capable of much more, you're not lying, you're acknowledging reality. There are skills you haven't mastered, opportunities you haven't pursued, levels of focus you haven't reached. There are challenges you haven't tested yourself against. You are not yet operating at your maximum capacity, and you probably never will be, because that capacity keeps expanding as you grow. The act of telling yourself you can do more each day creates a mindset of possibility. Instead of looking at a task and thinking, "I can't handle this," you think, "I haven't handled this yet." That single word "yet" changes everything. It keeps the door open. It shifts the conversation in your head from one of limitation to one of growth. It removes the finality from your current level and turns it into a stepping stone. The danger of not doing this is that you start to accept the boundaries that life or other people have drawn for you. You begin to think in terms of realistic based on other people's definition. You accept jobs that don't challenge you, relationships that don't inspire you, and habits that don't improve you. You quietly agree to live below your potential simply because no one around you expects more from you. If you don't set your own expectation that you are capable of much more, you'll live by theirs. Repeating this message to yourself daily isn't about arrogance. It's not about thinking you're better than others. It's about refusing to settle for less than you can be. It's about keeping the fire of improvement alive. When you wake up each morning and tell yourself you are capable of more, you approach the day differently. You're less likely to make excuses. You're more likely to push a little hard. You start looking for ways to stretch your limits instead of ways to stay comfortable. This daily reminder also helps you stay resilient when you face setbacks. When something goes wrong, the average mindset says, "This is too much for me." But the mindset that believes in greater capability says, "I can rise to this challenge." That belief doesn't remove the difficulty, but it changes how you carry it. Instead of shrinking under the weight, you begin to grow stronger because of. You also have to understand that your current level of effort may not reflect your true ability. Most people operate at a fraction of what they can really do. They stop when they feel tired, not when they've reached their actual limit. They aim for good enough instead of excellence, because they think pushing further won't matter. But you can't find your true limit without going past what feels comfortable. And you won't even attempt that unless you believe more is possible for you. One powerful way to live this belief is to set challenges that stretch you in different areas of life. Give yourself goals that feel slightly out of reach, and then work toward them daily. Track your progress so you can see evidence of your growth. Each small win becomes proof that your self-talk is right. You really are capable of more than you thought. Over time, those wins add up, and you start to wonder why you ever doubted yourself in the first place. Another way is to watch the people who inspire you and study their path. You'll often find that they started at a level no higher than yours. The difference is that they believed they could grow, so they kept pushing. They didn't label themselves too early. They didn't assume their starting point defined their ending point. They treated their capacity as something to be expanded, not something fixed. You also need to guard against the voices, internal or external, that try to convince you that you've gone far enough. Sometimes those voices will come from people close to you. They may mean well, thinking they're protecting you from disappointment or failure. But if you listen too closely, you'll start to accept limits that aren't real. Other times, those voices will come from your own fear. Your mind will whisper that you've done enough for today, that you should rest before you really need to, that you're not ready for the next step. The daily practice of telling yourself you're capable of more is how you counter those whispers. As you build this habit, you'll start to notice changes in how you see opportunities. Things that once seemed intimidating will start to look achievable. You'll take on projects you would have avoided in the past. You'll have conversations you would have stayed silent in before. You'll see yourself as someone who is still growing instead of someone who is stuck where they are. The key is to make this belief part of your identity. Don't just think it occasionally, make it who you are. See yourself as the kind of person who pushes beyond expectations, who refuses to settle for what's easy, who treats each day as a chance to expand what's possible. When it's part of your identity, you don't have to force it, you live it naturally. It's also important to connect this belief with action. Words alone are not enough. If you tell yourself you're capable of more but never act on it, the words lose their power. Each day, find one thing you can do that proves to yourself you meant it. It doesn't have to be huge, it just has to push you slightly beyond what you've been doing. This creates a feedback loop. The belief fuels the action, and the action strengthens the belief. Over time, this practice changes how you see yourself. You stop identifying with past limitations and start identifying with your potential. You stop defining yourself by what you've done so far and start defining yourself by what you're still capable of achieving. That shift alone can transform your life, because you'll approach every challenge with the mindset of someone who still has more to give. When you wake up tomorrow, before you check your phone, before you get lost in the noise of the day, remind yourself, I am capable of much more. Let that thought guide the choices you make. Let it influence how hard you work, how much you prepare, how willing you are to step into challenges. Repeat it again the next day, and the day after that, until it's no longer just something you say, it's something you live. The world will try to convince you to accept a smaller version of yourself. Don't let it. The voice in your head that tells you you're capable of more is the one you should listen to. Feed it, strengthen it, let it guide. Because the truth is, you really are capable of much more than you realize, and the sooner you believe it, the sooner you'll start proving it.